Good morning.
Good morning.
Please be seated. First of all, I want to thank everybody who helped me get this thing together. Lee and my mom and dad and Dr. Joe Howell, the VC. There he is. And everybody else who came to support me. Okay, so let's do this thing here. Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. Lay down all thought, surrender to the Lord. If these words sound familiar, it's because you listen to the Beatles. The words come from the song Tomorrow Never Knows from their album Revolver. Although I am almost certain that the trippy, unbalanced cadence of John Lennon's voice was not intended to be put into a sermon, I did it anyway. Being a musician, I relate most things in life to music. As youth, it is very easy for us to follow this pattern of nonchalant procrastination. I myself am a card-carrying member of PUT, Procrastinators Unite Tomorrow. We have not yet had an actual meeting, but plan to make plans, to plan meetings in the near future. All jokes aside, it is not a good thing to get caught up in this inclination to do nothing. Just as a note, Facebook, random texting, gossip, girlfriends, boyfriends, MTV, video games, and Twitter are not justifiable things. These are nothings, because if you do these things constantly, you might as well be doing nothing at all. As I mentioned a moment ago, I am one of the world's foremost experienced experts in the field of procrastination. I used to procrastinate when writing this part of the sermon, mainly because I was waiting for inspiration. Procrastination comes in many forms. People procrastinate every day in almost everything they do, but procrastination, in all cases, can be avoided. If we couldn't avoid it, then we wouldn't be procrastinating, only waiting. For example, there's a man. Let's call him Joe. Joe wakes up in the morning, gets out of bed. Joe feels groggy and walks into the kitchen to get some breakfast. Joe eats his breakfast and makes his way back to his room, and on the way, he remembers that he needs to take a shower. Joe walks right by the bathroom and goes back to bed. Joe falls back asleep and lands asleep for an hour. Joe is late for work and is fired. Joe is set. The end. Joe had a choice, and he knew that he could take a shower or put it off until later and go back to bed. As a result of his procrastination, Joe is fired. Before procrastination takes place, we are faced with the choice between procrastinating and doing what we know we should do. Procrastination is a conscious decision between good and evil. Well, maybe not good and evil, but between right and wrong, correct and incorrect. Any way you put it, one choice is negative and one choice is positive, even though we may not realize it. I believe procrastination is proof that we are not destined to live a certain life because when procrastination is offered as an option, we come to a fork in the road of life, and whichever path we take determines what will happen in the future. When I first came to the Episcopal Church in 2002, I was 9 years old. Having never heard of the Episcopal Church, let alone not being able to pronounce it, I had the slightest clue of what to expect. My first memory of St. Michael and All Angels Episcopal Church is a little murky, but I do recall wondering why no one ever told me that there was a castle in Anson, Alabama. I remember that the service was so strange and wondered why half the people dressed all fancy and the other half dressed like in robes like Jedi from Star Wars. This was doubly weird because the only other church that had seen my regular attendance was the Coffin Street Church of Christ with my great-grandmother. But after a bit of denomination shock, I learned to love the Episcopal Church, and I also learned that Anson had another castle called Grace. I loved the fact that in this church I was not eternally damned, no matter what I did. I loved the smells, bells, and whistles, and I loved the fact that there was not a stereotypical Episcopalian. You could look out into the congregation and see all sorts of people: Democrats, Republicans, retired generals, office max employees, former hippies, millionaires, people on welfare, and the list goes on. Just as Jesus prays in the gospel that we all may be one, we all are one. One parish of many people, one diocese of many parishes, one church of many dioceses, one faith of many denominations and one world of many faiths. But the thing I love most of all about the Episcopal Church is Advent. I thought it was amazing that we took a whole month to celebrate before Christmas even started. I especially love the Advent calendars that we do at home. Ours is a box with 25 doors, and in each door breaks a bag of Lego blocks and instructions for building a toy with them. I still think this is the greatest concept that man ever conceived. I was baptized less than a year after arriving at St. Mike's in April of 2003, and after that, I became an acolyte and slowly started working my way through the ranks. At first, I was a torchbearer. Then I was on the Gospel Book Order, and then Second Crossbearer. And then I made it all the way to First Crossbearer. I felt accomplished. It had taken many years of patience, which I do not lack, and thank God for giving me, to get to this point. I was on top. And then to top that off, I was confirmed by Bishop Sloan and became the senior acolyte in October of 2008. I do have a point in telling you all this about my growing up in the church. My point is that I found the Episcopal Church, and the Episcopal Church found me. In my 8 or so years of being an Episcopalian, the Episcopal Church has led me to discover who I am, whether it has been through my annual performances playing trumpet with our organist, Dr. Corbin, or through acolyting every week that I attend church. Obviously, acolyting is not an actual word, because spellcheck keeps putting the red squiggly line under it. I love being an Episcopalian so much that in October I transferred from Alexander High School to the Holy Country Episcopal Day School in Gadsden. I gave up a 12-minute commute for a 45-minute commute but it's been worth it so far. I love it, and as a matter of fact, some of my fellow classmates are here, I'm sitting over there, and along with the teacher of the year, Mr. Ken Raines, and his wife Jen, they're over there. And all of them are Episcopalians except for Lindsay. But we like her anyway. I've been blessed to be in the company of these people. I get to interact with people whom I can relate to on a daily basis. That is as cool as it gets. Character. I once heard it defined as what you do when no one is looking. When I think of character, I think of the cartoons, where when a certain cartoon character is faced with a life-changing decision, and the little red guy pops up on one shoulder, and the guy with the halo pops up on the other. They both put equal effort in convincing the cartoon character that their way is the best. In the cartoons, the guy with the halo always wins. In real life, the guy in the red suit sometimes sits on both shoulders, and we don't know what to do. Whenever I get in a situation like this, I panic. Usually, I listen to the guy in the red suit. No, Dr. Howell, I'm not hearing voices. This is all just metaphor. Earlier this year, I was dual enrolled at Agatha State for Spanish 101. That meant that I could earn both a high school credit and a college credit for passing the class. About 2 months ago, I was on my way to Spanish class, and a little guy in a red suit paid me a visit. He sat on my shoulder and whispered in my ear, "Hey, you have a car, and no one is looking, so you don't really have to go to Spanish class." Then I replied, "Hey, good idea, little guy in a red suit." So we if you like, took off to the only place I knew to go, the beginning of the Ladaga bike trail in Weaver. I pulled into the parking lot. It was almost full. I slipped into the next to last marked spot. I could have parked in the grass, but I didn't want to. So I pulled in and just sat there. I sat and I thought. I thought about walking on the trail for a while. I even got out my Spanish book and looked at it for 5 seconds or so. Then I got bored. So I turned on some music, Green Day. I sat and listened for a while, and then I started worrying about getting caught, and how I was going to cover up my tracks, and what the consequences were going to be. A good idea just turned into my finest orchestrated disaster yet. I quickly sped back to class at the Fort McClellan campus, which was only about 5 minutes away. I was halfway there when I heard a ring on the cell phone. I immediately picked it up and answered on Etsy. When I realized what they had done, I quickly pushed the red in button and threw the phone back into the backseat of the car. After that, I considered checking through the Jacksonville Hospital ER as a heart attack victim. I halfway calmed down and picked up the phone to see who the last call was from. M-O-M. I flipped again, and by the time I was done flipping, I was in the back parking lot of the Fort McClellan campus. I thought it was Scott 3. And then another ring. This time I didn't answer. I sat and waited until I saw people come out of the building, which was about 7 p.m. I then proceeded to call my mom, and the following conversation ensued. "Hey, did you call my cell phone while I was in class? Because I had 2 missed calls." "Yes, I did." "You weren't in class, were you?" "Yes, I was in class." "Where are you?" "I'm at Port McClellan in my parking spot." "Okay, you stay right there and I'll come and see if you are." Click. I was toast. In the time it took for her to get there, I decided that the safe bet was to surrender and give up all hope of convincing the all-knowing mother that I was in Spanish class. She arrived along with my dad and scolded me in front of at least 2 dozen college students, and then proceeded to take my keys and drive my car home while I rode home with my dad. And the conversation from then on was my dad talking, or me replying every so often in a muffled, "I don't know." Long story short, I was in trouble. From then to the end of the semester, I never drove to Spanish class again. My mother made sure that I got there. Character, or lack thereof, played a big part in this episode. What seemed like a good idea turned into trouble. I did not behave as if someone was watching. I took advantage of the fact that I was free to go anywhere my gas tank allowed me, and I suffered the consequences. The little guy in the red suit and I have fallen out. We still talk from time to time, but I don't take instruction from him anymore. Oh, and in case you were wondering, I passed with a B. I told you I was a musician, so I had another song to use. This time it's by The Who. The title is Imminent Sprung. I can't exactly recall the most accurate lyrics, but somewhere in the song, Pete Townsend wrote the most truthful thing that I've ever heard. People forget their hiding behind an imminent sprung. It's a put-on. People are so caught up in being someone else that they forget who they are. They forget that they are hiding behind a facade that they have created over time. As youth, our mask of present is still developing. We still have time to stop hiding. This may sound cliche, that's because it is. It is cliche because this happens so many times over that it's ordinary. Wearing a mask does not make you a bad person. It is just human nature for people to make themselves appear better than they really are. A man has as many masks as he has brains. It is not easy to remove masks. They don't just pop off. They take gradual pulling and tugging. And when the mask is finally removed, in its place will be scars. And scars being scars, they will appear unattractive at first. But with patience, they will heal. Amen.
Turning to page 358, let us stand and affirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
The prayers of the people are Form 6, found on page 392 in the Book of Common Prayer. For our families, friends, and neighbors, and those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy. For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For our presiding bishop, Catherine Deborah Shorey, our bishops, Henry Key, our priests, Lee, and David and Deacon Formation, and for all other bishops and ministers.
For all who serve God and His church. For your mercy is great.
We will exalt you, O God our King,
and praise your name forever. Who put their trust in you. Be upon us, most merciful God,
in your compassion, forgive us our sins.